The debate between creationists and evolutionists over the meaning of the biblical account of creation continues to be a much debated point, as witnessed to by recent developments in Kansas and elsewhere. Here to provide some historical perspective on these recent developments is Robert Pennock. Pennock is a professor of philosophy and religion at the College of New Jersey. He's also the author of Tower of Babel, The Evidence Against the New Creationism.
In the wake of the decision this past summer of the Kansas State Board of Education to delete evolution from its curriculum standards, presidential candidate George W. Bush stunned scientists by endorsing a policy of local control over whether creationism could be taught in public school science classes. Other candidates followed suit, although Al Gore said he would allow creationism only in comparative religion classes. That the candidates passed this political hot potato to local authorities may not be surprising, but it is still disheartening. Although local control may initially sound fair-minded, for science this is terrible educational policy. The facts of nature, like the facts of history, are not appropriately decided by political compromise. Around the time of the Scopes trial, schools in Zion, Illinois, not only rejected evolution, but also infidel theories of a moving round earth, choosing to teach the, quote, biblical flat earth view. Well, what might be expected of local control of the creationism issue today? In recent years, several school boards have wanted to use the Bible as a textbook in science classes. But while biologists speak about mitochondrial Eve to refer to the source of mitochondrial DNA, the biblical Eve is not a real alternative. Other school boards have tried to adopt the textbook of Pandas and People, which has students, in its words, choose for themselves between the two theories of evolution and intelligent design. In fact, there's not one, but many creationist views. Most creationists reject the Big Bang, hence its removal from the Kansas standards, but a few adopt it as a nifty proof of creation ex nihilo. Most reject the standard geological timescale, gone in Kansas as well, and say that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, but a few are old earthers. Many believe that God created the different human languages at the Tower of Babel, but others accept linguistic evolution. Nor are all creationists biblical literalists. In Oregon, the Utamila tribe recently clashed with the Asatru Folk Assembly, a pagan group, about whose gods had created whose ancestors first in that region. The Raelian movement holds that all life on Earth was created by extraterrestrials. A Hindu group in Kansas thanked the board for removing evolution. They claim the evidence supported a Vedic view of millions of years of cyclic human history. Does fairness really demand that any such view be included? Once scientific constraints are removed, any religious group can analyze the evidence in their own favor. So what should the candidates have said? That they would uphold the Constitution and the Supreme Court rulings on this issue, which have consistently ruled against creationism. That the U.S. depends upon state-of-the-art science, and that schools should teach no less. What we got instead was an ill-advised political compromise, one that compromises the integrity of science and compromises the education of American schoolchildren.
You've been listening to Robert Pennock, author of Tower of Babel, The Evidence Against the New Creationism, published by MIT Press in 1999. This is Talking History.